So like I said, normally I don't take that much time for video. Not sure if I ever will again. We'll see what happens, but a number of things impressed me from that video. Just wanted to share with you from the President's heart, just the work that's being done around this world through the Great Commission Fund. So as we take up our offering next Sunday, it goes to support and supply those international workers that have been called and sent from the Alliance. I would encourage you all to pray about how you'll support the church. We support monthly through, as a part of your offerings, support the Great Commission Fund, and we'll likely take up, give a little extra at the end of this year. You have inside your bulletin a little handout about that, an envelope, so you can give to this church. You can go online and give yourself, email a check, write a check, whatever you would like to do. Encourage you to do that. Also, you see the Briel family. Jonathan spoke last week about their mission to Japan. So what's funny, so I didn't have to look for this video. It showed up whenever December 12th was. That was every month. On the 12th of each month, President Stumbo does a video blog, a 12-minute video, and that's what happened to show up, which dovetailed quite nicely with Jonathan's message. So just want to encourage you, if the Lord's kind of stirred your heart, kind of wrestling, do I want to support him? Can I not support him? They're still looking for about $3,400 a month in support to be able to go to Japan. They're hoping to leave in August, just a reminder. So if you feel so led, you can reach out to him. There should be an email. Is there something in here? So yeah, his email and the URL for the website is there, so you can just reach out to them. And so even if you're not looking to support now, but say, hey, when you go, I'd love to give X amount per month. That'd be huge just to know, hey, I got these folks that are willing to partner up with me. And that's the biggest thing right now. He said they're about 85% of the way there for their funds to move over there, to move over. So the biggest thing is just knowing that they'll have income coming in. It costs them $10,000 a month to live in Tokyo. Pretty expensive. As he said, he'll be continue to work remotely. So that's about $4,000 a month, but still looking for $6,000 total of support. They're down to about $3,400 in need. So as the Lord lays on your heart to support. And then I like the end of the video where Stumbo just shared that great impact of that little embryo, that great impact of Jesus becoming God with us. And we'll talk a little bit about that today, with or without your permission. So let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful for this time of year. We're so grateful that you can do so incredibly much with seemingly so little. Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit today. Give me your words, your power, your unction to reach your people. Lord, may you set us on a trajectory to impact your community with your great message. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today we look at Mary and Joseph under the context of discomfort for a purpose. Oh no. Okay, good. Mary and Joseph, many of us know that narrative of Mary becoming president, Joseph learning about all this and everything that ensued. And so we want to look at it through the lens of that discomfort, that difficulty that ensued with that, and because of becoming pregnant, becoming an unwed virgin, engaged, yes, but not quite married yet, not Joseph's child. So let's go through this and talk about it a little bit. Looking at Luke chapter 1. We are in Luke this week, so I apologize. Last week or 2 weeks ago, I misspoke. Many of you probably went right over your heads, but I misspoke, and that's my fault, so I apologize for that. We'll be in Luke and in Matthew, so both chapter 1 of that. So starting off here, verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. So the context here, we got 6 months into Elizabeth, her relative being pregnant with John the Baptist. The angel now visits Mary, shows up to her. And we get some neat stuff there in those first couple of verses, verses 26, 27. What's also interesting is that we get a description of who Mary is before we're given her name. Her name isn't the important part, but these attributes of who she is. We get this attribute that she's a virgin, she's betrothed, she's engaged. So she's not in a position to be having children. She's engaged, which, as we know in Jewish culture, it was this engagement betrothal period of a year, but it was a legally binding period, but still kind of testing the waters out and making sure that this is the right calling for both involved. Well, virgin, well, why does that matter? Well, she can't be pregnant. There's no way that it can't happen. Why does the betrothal matter? Well, it's a strong relationship. So we see here God threading the needle in time to her getting pregnant, where it would only be from God. Certainly the Holy Spirit could come along Mary 5 years into marriage, right? And certainly overwhelm her and she would become pregnant. But how many people are going to believe that? Well, no, it was probably Joseph. Now there can be no question in anybody's mind who the father is. We see here who she's marrying, this man, Joseph, this house of David, which is going to, in a sense, force them, as we'll learn next week, as we know, to Bethlehem to give birth to this child. I love how God sets up all of these circumstances in life. And then he speaks to her, calling her, O favored one, that God is with her. So the angel, most times when an angel visited, it's probably not a good thing. We think of, why am I drawing a blank here? Sodom and Gomorrah. Angels showing up there. God showing up in his power, his fury. That wasn't a pleasant day in those lives of those people there. That was a time of destruction. Generally, these God's messengers coming down there, it's not a peaceful message that he's looking to deliver. But with Mary, it is. She's a favored one. So she's not simply favored just because she's Jewish, but she's also, I believe, a godly woman seeking to follow the Lord. And so, which is important, last week we had Zechariah and Elizabeth, or a couple weeks ago, Zechariah and Elizabeth. This was a good godly man and woman seeking to follow the Lord. And God brought great discomfort into their lives, bringing this baby boy, this blessing, but still a difficult time in their lives. Here we go, Mary and Joseph, godly man, godly woman, God bringing this discomfort, this difficulty in their lives, but for great beauty, for great joy, for great triumph for all of us. It says, your favorite word, God is with you, God is here, God is with you. And of course, she became troubled trying to figure out what's going on here. I would certainly be troubled too if an angel showed up. I love the fact that with the God with you, we know that God is fully everywhere. God is fully everywhere. There's no second, no point in time where God is not with us. But when he calls us, when he points her to this role, when he points Mary to the task that he knows best for her, best for creation, there's this comfort. Hey, God is with you. With this, just right up front, hey, God is with you here as God sets you on this task. Your favorite one, she's certainly not perfect. Nobody's claiming her to be perfect, but she's the person that God needs. I would encourage us to remember that about yourself. As God calls you and I in different seasons, different phases of our lives, number one, God is with us. If he's calling us, he's sticking with us. He isn't just the clockmaker that winds us up and then, all right, go at it, hope things turn out well for you, but God's hand is there with us. And yes, we're not perfect, but we're sufficient for the task he calls us, and God makes us sufficient. But she's troubled that the angel sees this, and then verse 30 says, do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive, and in your womb bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Don't be afraid, and he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. That's quite the statement. It's quite a statement from our Lord. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Once again, you found favor with God. God's not here for disciplinary purposes, but rather to bless you and to bless others. You're going to conceive. And as we'll see from the following statement, you can say, well, how can this be? This isn't just some promise in your life, like to Abraham. Don't worry, through you, through all of your offspring, you're going to bless the whole world, the sands of the sea, and all this other stuff. She knew this promise was for right now. You will conceive almost immediately. You will call his name Jesus. These wonderful attributes. And we know 2 Timothy 1:7. So when God's here, remember, Paul says, God gave us a spirit of fear, of not of fear, but power and love of self-control. So when God's there, we don't have a reason to be fearful. Well, that certainly there's circumstances in our lives, unknowns, but God is here with us. God's hand is upon her. God's hand is upon us, hopefully. We see here the greatness of who this son will be. And I'm going to step on some toes a little bit. I know there's many in this church who love that song, Mary, Did You Know? Mary did know a lot. Mary was told an awful lot from the angel right here, told more than anybody else would know. And so you can come and yell at me and harass me afterwards if I'm stepping on your toes. But she was told a great deal about who Jesus was. He's going to be great. He's going to be called Son of the Most High. So remember, because the Holy Spirit is going to be the Father, he's not simply the Son of Mary. He's the Son of God. Jesus is fully God, fully man. We know if the Father is a dog, what kind of offspring is there? That here dog? Hopefully. Yeah, if the Father is a cat, it's going to be a cat. So if the Father is God, the baby is going to be God. There's no denying that, which is why Mary had to be the virgin. She had to be, so that way God could be the Father. It also bypasses the curse. So while he's going to be in the lineage of David, there was the curse that went on there. He bypasses this curse to allow himself. But also this promise, the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, this 1,000-year-old promise that they've been waiting for, and waiting and waiting and waiting. This is going to be the promise. 2 Samuel chapter 7 said to David, when your days are fulfilled and you lay down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you. You shall become who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. This great kingdom forever, this throne forever. His kingdom who will never end. What incredible blessings and wonderful things are going to happen from it. And Mary asked the million-dollar question, well, how will this be since I'm a virgin? And in this is almost the same question, obviously different than Zechariah asked of the angel when said, all right, well, Elizabeth is going to become pregnant in her old age. I fully believe Mary saying this, how will this be since I'm a virgin? I believe she has fully believed that everything the angel has said. I believe there's anticipation, there's excitement. This is great, but how is this going to happen? Kind of fill me in. How is this going to take place? That's not going to happen. We have no record, unless I'm missing something, of a virgin birth here in Old Testament. They don't have anything to go on. I believe she is fully, well, all right, fill me in. How is this going to happen? It's almost this excitement. And the reason why I say that, there's nothing contextually in there other than there's no rebuke from the Holy Spirit or from the angel here. There's no rebuke. There's no negative consequences to her question. Her heart is fully, all right, what's going to happen? And so the angel goes right into it. Well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power from the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Remember, this word holy very simply means set apart. That is, for something to be holy, to be set apart. Our New Testament word is consecrated. Consecrated is to be set apart. So this baby's going to be holy. It's going to be set apart from this world, set apart from the sin that is inherited from mother and father down to child, and then child, and just keeps on going and going and going. He's going to be holy just as God is holy. God is holy. He is independent. He is above and outside of his creation, the sin, the corruption. He is holy. He is set apart from all of this. And Jesus is going to be the same way. He's going to be holy just as his Father. He's going to be the Son of God. This is who he is. This is his identity. And some great reassurance here. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month of with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. How great is that? This great reassurance, and she's not in it alone. Not that she needed any proof, but there's this excitement. Somebody who she can be with, who can share this experience with. And I love Mary's response in verse 38. Her response is the same response we should all have as the Lord comes to us, as he approaches us, as he places those thoughts into our minds, into our hearts. We know when he says, I want you to do this and lean into whatever. It might be uncomfortable. It might be uncomfortable. Usually it's uncomfortable. It's outside of our comfort zone. And she simply says, behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. I'm the servant. The servant has no rights. The servant doesn't have the ability to say no. I suppose the servant could say no, and they could probably expect a good southern whooping. But no, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Yes, this is going to be difficult. I imagine in today's society, it's difficult when a high schooler gets pregnant, is it not? The social stigma and everything else that goes on. And we live in a pretty liberal society. But to be back then in this incredibly conservative religious Jewish community to now, all right, you're engaged, you're not yet married, and you're going to be with child, what are the people going to think? Remember that there's no precedence that this isn't happening often, that the Holy Spirit is overwhelming people and they're giving birth, they're becoming mothers. All the difficulties going on with supporting themselves and everything else. There's a lot of challenges in this. But man, what incredible blessings are to come from this. And her mindset in this uncomfortable, very uncomfortable situation is simply, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. She doesn't try to finagle any situation. All right, I'll do it if. It's just, all right, I'm yours. I'm not sure how this is all going to work out. All right, Lord, I'll do it as long as you promise that Joseph is going to stay with me, because I can't do this by myself. I can't be a single mother. I'll do this as long as my parents will promise to support me. I'll do this as long as, and you could insert anything you want in there. It's just, no, I trust you, Lord. Remember, the angel is a servant of the Lord, a speaker of the Lord. So if God is bringing in this difficult situation, then he's going to bring in the way for this situation to be fruitful, to bear fruit. And that's true of all of our lives. We just want to have that same mindset. And so from this, we know that Mary goes and visits Elizabeth. And before we get into their interchange, before she runs off for a few months, I believe she's told Joseph. Would it not make sense? She's going to tell her fiancé that, oh, by the way, the Holy Spirit has got me pregnant. An angel visited me. But I don't think he received it with the same level of support and enthusiasm that she did. Because we know from, we're going to look at that here quickly, that, well, Joseph resolved to divorce her quietly. So before she then runs off, so now she's going off to Elizabeth and without having the support of her fiancé. But she goes to someone who's going through a similar situation. They can share the mutual encouragement, and they can both focus on the future that God has for them. And so as we go through difficult situations, there's going to be some who resonate and can go, who can share, and you know, I've kind of been there, I'm going through something similar. Obviously Elizabeth is at the opposite end of the spectrum, but she can share in this. There's this God's promise, and they're going through something unique together. We're not islands. God hasn't given us stuff for us to just go through and work through by ourselves. He wants us to go through things together. Not everybody will understand. The person closest to Mary didn't understand at first. Just needed time for the angel to come visit. And very true for us today. We are the church, the Greek word ekklesia. We're the called out ones. Not the called out one, the called out ones. We are the body of Christ. We're meant to go through things together. If a person goes through a fire, it's not just generally a hand that goes through a house fire, though it might be the hand that gets burnt. The whole body is impacted. The whole body's affected. We're meant to go through things together. So I'd encourage you as you go through difficulties, find a person, a couple people who can come alongside you. You can work through this together. And so we know Mary goes off to Elizabeth and says that right here, when Elizabeth heard that the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is this granted me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." It's great she gets this immediate acceptance, this immediate connection with Elizabeth. They can go through this here together. And that last line is so incredibly important. Blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what the Lord spoken to her from the Lord. A lot of our problem is we're pretty smart people. We read a lot of this stuff, and we intellectually say, okay, yeah, I understand. I cognitively believe this, but my heart doesn't trust this. My heart doesn't trust what you're saying, Lord. And we'll never say that to him unless we're really honest. But we're not even really honest with ourselves. But it says right here, blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment what the Lord spoke. Blessed are we when we fully believe and say, all right, Lord, this makes no sense. This is going to be tough. This is going to be horrible. This is going to be awful. But I know for a fact that you've sent me here. I know for a fact this is your hand. This is your doing. From a world's perspective, this doesn't make much sense. But I can tell it's you. And each of us in our lives, I would venture to say at least 50% of us are going through a right now where this makes no sense, Lord. But if we can trust and rely and hold on to him, that helps get us through rather than kind of doing our own thing that doesn't work out for us very well. Imagine 30 years from now, Joseph looking back, and he actually went through with his plan of, you know, I'm just going to divorce her quietly. Imagine the regret he would have. Kind of looking back, it's, hindsight is great. We can see, all right, I see how that all worked out, or, oh boy, I should have made that decision perhaps. But Matthew chapter 1 tells us this, that the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. And I love Matthew. He's writing from a Jewish perspective to the Jews to make sure beyond a shadow of a doubt this is what's happening. This is how it took place. So once again, we get when Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Takes that whole Luke chapter 1, just condenses it into one short thing. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So Joseph was a good man. Most of us in this situation, you know, may or may not believe Mary because this is kind of an awkward thing to believe, not really any precedent. But, you know, I don't mean to bring great shame to her. I'm just going to divorce her quietly. That's his legal right to do so. And I believe the Lord chose both of them, chose to bless them in this pregnancy because, well, they were both godly men and women. So just a reminder, our godliness does not prevent us from trials. So we want to stay clear of that theology. Lord, why am I going through this? I'm doing pretty well. I'm a good person. I'm whatever. Well, often through that discomfort, Lord is bringing about other things. After he resolves, but we know that the angel comes to him instead of just appearing, it's now a vision in a dream. As he considers these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. That which is conceived from her is from the Holy Spirit. Yeah, this is true. What Mary is telling you is true. She'll bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. It's great. Promise this great reassurance from the Lord and what's going on, what's happening. How wonderful this would have been for him. And we get this great purpose. Jesus' whole purpose here on earth is not for us to help love the poor, love one another better. It's to save their people from their sins. And through that, we get to help save other people from their sins, not to just make a comfortable community. So here's the great importance. Yes, it's going to be tough, but Jesus' life is going to be tougher. And all this was to fulfill prophecy. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Once again, the only way that God can be with us is through this conception, through the Holy Spirit. And when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. So I'm not sure at what point in those 3 months, probably towards the end, but he had time to wrestle through things and come up with his plan and what he's going to do. But he chose obedience. Some of us are married, so we're going to quickly, all right, Lord, I'm in. Others of us, I want to be in, but this doesn't make sense. This doesn't work for me. This isn't really, so I'm going to go ahead and I think I'm going to go take this path. It makes sense. There's nothing wrong on the surface with it, but it's just not God's will. Unfortunately, if we're open to the Holy Spirit, open to the Lord, open to Him speaking to us, He'll share with us and He'll guide and He'll correct us on our path. And we could be like Joseph and get the many blessings that he got. And we see what a godly man he is. It says that he knew her not until she had given birth to a son. The Holy Spirit said nothing about, now wait until after Jesus is born for you to get married, to do all those things. But Joseph wanted to make sure that I believe that they were above reproach. If they were found to be together, well, oh yeah, of course. No, this isn't the Holy Spirit thing. This is. But if the whole community, the whole town, small towns, people talk, amen? Do people talk in Panama City? Yeah, people talk. People know each other's business, where they ought to know people's business or not. Even before Facebook, people know each other's business. So if they're staying separated until they're married, man, she's a godly woman. I've never seen her even, touch the hand of another guy. And maybe there's some validity to this. It makes no sense, but it makes perfect sense. God knows what He's doing. How amazing is that? So as we close today, just a reminder, God brings discomfort for a purpose. God brings those tough situations for a purpose. So I just want us to take heart. God does great things because of and through great discomfort. I believe it's God's will. It's His plan to take us outside of our comfort zone for Him and to have maximum impact. And so with the help of God, you can get through, as we see here with Mary, you can get through an awful lot of discomfort, trial, pain, suffering, when you know that He's placed you there. When He's called you to that situation when there's no doubt, all right, Lord, we're here because we're following You because of whatever, we're being obedient. So this clearly must be Your will. You can get through a lot. You can get through a lot of difficulties. On the other side, we can kick against the goad, or we can embrace the calling that God has given us for whatever season it is in our life. He is doing great things, just as He did that first Christmas. So I encourage us to lean into that. And with that, let's go ahead and close in prayer. And I'm not sure if somebody wants to grab Miss Janice and know that we'll be... Oh, you've already been grabbed. You grabbed yourself. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful for Your love, Your tenderness. Lord, we are grateful that You are with us each step of the way. You sent Jesus to be God with us, who experienced life just as we did. Mary, Joseph, Elizabeth, Zechariah, all these folks 2,000 years ago, it wasn't easy. But Lord, incredible fruit was reaped. May You help us to follow You and not simply the path of least resistance in our lives. May You be glorified and honored. Change our hearts because we are here today. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.